man is what he eats. With this statement, the German materialistic philosopher Feuerbach thought he had put an end to all idealistic, romantic, mysterious, or religious speculations about human nature. In fact, the Orthodox theologian Alexander Schmemann points out, Feuerbach was expressing, without knowing it, the most religious idea about humankind. He says that long before Feuerbach, the same definition of humanity was given in the Bible. In the biblical story of creation, humankind is presented, first of all, as a hungry being, and the whole world as his food. Second only to the direction to propagate and exercise dominion over the earth is God's instruction to eat of the earth. Behold, God says to our first mother and father, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. Eating. It might be dressed up and called fine dining, but even then, it is the most rudimentary act. And it serves as a parallel to our faith. The Christian faith is mysterious, not because it's so complicated, but because it is so simple. It goes without saying that humans must eat in order to live. We must take the world into our bodies and transform it into ourselves, into flesh and blood. We are indeed that which we eat, and the whole world is presented as one all-embracing banquet table for humankind. And this image of the banquet remains, throughout the whole Bible, the central image of life as God intended it for us. Listen to this invitation and promise of Isaiah's prophecy. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And remember Blessed Mary's song at the news that she would bear the Messiah. He has filled the lowly with good things. And in the Revelation to St. John, we read of the marriage banquet of the Lamb. The Bible begins and ends with eating, banqueting. Feasting is the image of life at creation and also the image of life at its culmination and fulfillment. As Jesus said, that you eat and drink at my table and my kingdom. It is important enough that bread has been the subject of the last several Sundays of our gospel readings. But not just your everyday loaf. We've been encountering Jesus, the bread of life. Each week has brought us closer to the unspoken question behind today's gospel. Is there life in you? We often greet one another with, how are you? But that's not really a greeting, is it? It's a hard question to answer, and one which many of us will avoid or ignore. Fine, we'll say. Busy, good, doing well. But those don't answer the question. They cover it up. The question pushes us to discover the hunger within us and the life that Jesus wants to feed us. That's what Jesus has been after these past few weeks. 3 weeks ago, 5,000 hungry people showed up. They were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They didn't understand. They thought it was about loaves and fish. It was really about life and where life comes from. 2 weeks ago, Jesus challenged us to consider the bread we eat. Is it perishable bread, or is it bread that endures to eternal life? Last week, Jesus declared himself to be the bread of life, the living bread that came down from heaven. Today, he says, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." These are statements that might not go over too well in such polite company. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. But this is the only way we ever have life within us. Jesus is very clear and candid about it. There's not a lot of room for discussion. His flesh is true food, and his blood is true drink. Any other diet leaves us empty and hollow, hungry and bereft of life. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those are ominous words, words that haunt and challenge us to consider whether there is life within us. Of course, Jesus is talking about more than just the physical and the material. He's talking about more than biological function. He's talking about that life that is beyond words, indescribable, and yet we know it when we taste it. We get a taste of it when we love so deeply and profoundly that everything about us fades away, passes away, and somehow we are more fully alive than ever before. Sometimes everything seems to just fit together perfectly, and all is right with the world. Not because we got our way, but because we knew ourselves to be a part of something larger, more beautiful, and more holy than anything we could have done. We were tasting life. There are moments when time stands still and we wish the moment would never end. In that moment, we are in the flow, the wonder, and the unity of life. And it tastes good. Most of us spend a fair amount of time, energy, maybe even prayer, trying to create and possess the life we want. In spite of our best efforts, sometimes we live less than fully alive. Or we're so busy trying to create the life we want that we forget to live it. You ever feel that way? Sometimes the outside and inside of who we are don't match up. We ask ourselves, what am I doing with my life? We wonder if this is all there ever will be. Is this as good as it gets? We lament what has become of our life. Nothing seems to satisfy. We despair at what is and what we think will be. Despite family and friends, we find no place in which we really belong. Does any of that sound familiar to you this morning? Those questions and feelings are not so much a judgment on us, but a diagnosis of us. They are symptoms of starvation within our soul. We are dying from the inside out. There is, however, treatment for our condition and food for our hunger. Life in Christ, not death in the wilderness, is our destiny. The flesh and blood of Christ are the medicine that saves. What St. Ignatius calls the medicine of immortality. One dose, however, is not enough. We need a steady diet of this sacred medicine, this holy food. Jesus is our medicine and our health. He is our life and the means to the life for which we most deeply hunger. We don't work for the life we want. We eat the life we want. Whenever human hunger and the flesh and blood of Christ meet, there is life. When receiving the Eucharist, writes von Balthasar, each person must remember that they are falling into the arms of God like someone dying of hunger in the wilderness of life. Jesus Christ comes to address humankind's hunger. He comes to address it by fulfilling it. And he comes to fulfill it by giving us God. It is not communion that provides for us eternal life. It is Jesus. It is Jesus himself who feeds us in our wilderness. In the eating and drinking of Christ's flesh and blood, he lives in us and we in him. We consume his life that he might consume and change ours, not just for eternity, but for here and now. Just as we metabolize communion, bread, and wine, converting these simple elements carried through our bodies by our blood, strengthening our arms to lift up the weak, energizing our legs to carry us to the poor, we eat and digest Christ's life, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his way of being and seeing, his compassion, his presence, and his relationship with the Father. We eat and drink our way to life. So leave nothing behind. Push nothing to the side. Come hungry. Clean your plate. Amen.